Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting but not video streaming today from our studios at the Progressive Radio Network in New York City. We're going to begin today with the latest on health and healing and talking about a new study from Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center on how adults with mild cognitive impairment, that's tens of millions, can learn and benefit from mindful meditation, an article published in the Current Journal of Alzheimer's Disease. And then we have a lot more following that. Then today, I'm going to take some messages from people in the audience. Now, there are three ways of sharing your thoughts, because most people download the show and listen over the archives. So we have an archive number. You can download the show. Please write this down. 701-719-9976. That's 701-719-9976. And you can leave a voicemail. Now, your voicemail can be something you thought would be important to share with this audience that would empower us in some of the show segments. Or you can ask a question. And today I'm going to take our voicemails to see what people have asked. That number to leave a voicemail, 861-800-6805. Again, 862-800-6805. Again, 862-800-6805. Or you could listen live anywhere, as long as you have a regular phone or a cell phone, or even over your computer. 605-562-7900. 605-562-7900. And by the way, to give you an idea of how popular listening over the telephone is instead of a land-based station, because people are mobile, they're moving all the time. In the entire world, over the number one station using it, of over 16,000 stations, we're in the top five. So, a lot of people are downloading it. We're going to also today hear from Cheryl Atkinson, an award-winning reporter, about AstroTurf and manipulation of the media. So the media is where a lot of people get their messages. And we're encouraging you to challenge each and every message, because so often they're biased. Give you an example. Earlier this week, we had a unique and rare opportunity to interview Leonard Lopate. Now, Leonard is a common household name in the greater New York City area, as he was on WMYC, one of the NPR stations, and the most popular one in this area of America. And he did a late evening show for 32 years. And he had 6 to 8 women working in his office all the time, because there's a lot of research on his shows. And there was some accusation that he had been either sexually intimidating or harassing or created a toxic work environment, etc. But he was let go. But we found out in an exclusive interview, everyone had been trying to interview, and this is the only interview he's given, that A, they never told him what he was accused of. Not once. Not in writing. Not in person. B, they never told him who was making accusations. He had to find out that one of the people in a New York Magazine article and the other in a New York Times. So he then said, well, I've got all these women working in my office for a long time, and these are feminists, and these are intelligent, highly educated, and very socially conscious women. They would not work in such a hostile environment. So all those women contacted the New York Times and New York Magazine. Hear our story. Not a single one was interviewed. Not one. What does that tell you about the bias of the New York Times and New York Magazine? They had what they wanted. They had a gadfly, gossipy, and malicious story fitting in with the Me Too movement. So we were able to break that story. that no one, and those women are still working with him. They came as volunteers to work for him over at WBAI. So that casts an entirely different light on the original accusations and the gossip and the and all of the malfeasance and animus thrown against his reputation. So thank goodness he had a chance to clear the air on that. And also I said at the time that one of the people boycotting, originally stating that she was boycotting, was because he had been brought over here. What her current reasons for boycotting the station, I have no idea, nor does Linda Perry, the program director, because Linda told me I have no idea why she's boycotting now. But I would have thought that reasonableness was, if you have an issue with someone, call them, bring them in for a private interview, and offer the allegations and see how they respond. At least give them the opportunity to respond. But where Amy Goodman would have on and praise the White Helmets, that is a terrorist organization, we prove that, others have proven that, it's been completely documented, she wouldn't have on someone. Instead, the idea is, I'm not going to support the station. At a time when this station's on life support, where bills cannot be paid, even my own listeners' premiums, half have not been sent, 55% of the premiums from the spring drive, and I have no idea how many will be sent out from the summer drive. The station just doesn't have the money for all of its bills. So when all of us should be working together, cooperatively, setting aside your personal politics, setting aside your personal agendas, and just say, if you've been blessed by having the opportunity to have a forum on a public non-commercial radio station, honor it. But hey, when you've made, according to Steve Brown's report on how much Democracy Now, which was privatized and profitized by Amy Goodman, over $72 million, I guess she can afford to be indifferent. That's unfortunate, because I believe if you want to boycott, boycott. But don't just boycott fundraising. Take yourself off the air and let someone who's going to be there to support the station take that place, until and unless you change your mind. But that's the hypocrisy that we see permeating the media today, and that's why I don't believe anyone in the media. I have to prove for myself, and asking you to prove for yourself. We're going to hear Cheryl Atkinson talk about this and how pervasive it is. Also, this morning, we got a very important inside tip about what really happened with Jeffrey Epstein. We are doing our due diligence and research, and I'll be interviewing some of the people later. And if all goes well, next Tuesday night, we will hold a press conference on the air to tell you the real story that no one has touched. No one. So I will say no more than that. And Richard Gale and our other staff attorneys are working on that story right now. Separately, today, we're going to have a testimony before Congress under oath on the scandal at the Evergreen State College riots and what's happening to our free speech. Professor Brett Weinstein, an ultra-liberal, very progressive professor, loved by his students, was forced to resign. Did he say something racist, misogynist, insensitive? Not at all. You'll hear what he said about learning how to think, and you'll see the violence, the absolute rageful violence in the people who are demanding sensitivity and how they should be spoken with, as if somehow they're living on rice paper and your very thought is enough to crumble the rice paper and cause them trauma. What nonsense. We begin with the latest on health and healing, however. And as I mentioned, there's currently no known way to look at cognitive impairment from the orthodox model. So if you went to your physician, neurologist, psychiatrist, internist, and said, can I prevent cognitive impairment or Alzheimer's? They'd say no. They're right. They're 100% right. There is no way to prevent any disease at all. You can't prevent headaches. You can't prevent arthritis. You can't prevent heart disease, high blood pressure. It's impossible, according to the orthodox model. What they can do is they can give you medications which can keep your symptoms in control. They can control your blood pressure, your blood sugar, but they can't prevent anything, and you're led to believe you can either. But I'm right, as are thousands upon tens of thousands of other people who have embraced a more holistic and more visionary and more humanistic approach to understanding the nature of disease. We include prevention. That is heretical to mention that word. In fact, it will probably be banned in the near future if the AMA, that criminal organization, and it is a criminal organization, gets its way. But we believe in prevention. We believe you can change the outcome of any disease, no matter what your genetic predisposition. So, here's just one example. And by the way, we share examples of this all the time on this program. According to Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, meditation. Meditation, mindfulness meditation, can make a difference in helping. And that's correct. Mindful meditation is an enormously powerful tool to unleash the body's innate healing capacity to keep yourself calm and focused and release tensions and stressors. So on that one, that's good. It's just that the entire medical industrial complex model should be challenged and simply thrown on the garbage heap of real quackery. You see, if anyone dies using some alternative therapy or a vitamin, it's headline news. But when 3,000 Americans die each day, or between 1,000 and 3,000 per day every 24 hours from medicine, keep moving. Nothing to see here. No reason to change anything. So, something to think about. From University of Buffalo, a vegetable-rich diet lowers fatigue in multiple sclerosis patients, and it increases the good cholesterol. According to the study, higher levels of blood high-density lipoprotein, or the HDL, the good cholesterol, can improve fatigue in multiple sclerosis patients. And this was a good study published in PLOS One. And so eat your vegetables, be on a plant-based diet, and you can improve your multiple sclerosis conditions. From the Gaesang National University in South Korea comes a study about hesperitin, H-E-S-P-E-R-E-T-I-N. It's a citrus bioflavonoid. It's that white pulp underneath the orange, the grapefruit, the lemon, and the lime that most people peel and throw away. Well, it turns out it attenuates the LPS-induced neuroinflammation and apoptosis and memory impairments. Well, let's break that down into lay language. It influences the inflammatory markers in your brain in oxidative stress. So if you want to turn off inflammation, the underlying cause of most disease, then this is just one of the many things that can do it. Vitamin C can do it. Vitamin E can do it. Coenzyme Q10 can do it. Magnesium can do it. But this also can do it and is very powerful. Let me spell it again. H-E-S-P-E-R-E-T-I-N. It's been around a long time. No one uses it. From Griffith as well as Queensland University, both of which are in Australia, published in the peer-reviewed journal of Nutrients, elderberry, elder, E-L-D-B-E-R, berry, B-E-R-Y, one word, is found to reduce symptoms and severity of colds, especially if you're flying. Now, I know that I take some Sambuca nigra, that's elderberry. I take 2 tablespoons, put it in a glass of water, just before I go into the airport. They don't allow to have liquids on the plane more than 3 ounces. So this way, I take some vitamin C with that and quercetin, and that helps. But this study was just about elderberry, and it talked about how it's been used historically as a traditional medicine. And there are a lot of observational and clinical studies where it supports the body against influenza, that's the flu, and the common cold. So, and they used it on people who were flying economy class and overseas, long flights. And they used this compared to a placebo. So people who were taking the placebo were measured on long flights versus people taking the active ingredient. And the people taking elderberry had substantially less colds and flu. And that's important. Now, I'm asked about guarana. G-U-A-R-A-N-A. It's very powerful as an antioxidant, that it is. In fact, it's right up there with green tea. And however, the question is, which is better? Because you see guarana in all these energy drinks. So millions of people consume green tea all over the world, hundreds of millions. And it has a chemical in it called catechin, C-A-T-E-C-H-I-N. Catechins are a class of chemical compounds with super antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. And that's what makes green tea so powerful. Well, also guarana has catechins as well. So now you have two competing very powerful, higher antioxidant nutrients you can put in your body. Here's why I support green tea and I do not support guarana. Because guarana also has high caffeine. And caffeine can do a lot of problems in your body as far as neurodegeneration, cardiovascular disorders, diabetes, cancer, inflammation, and premature aging of the cell. So that's the reason that I choose green tea and I reject any product that has guarana in it. From Nanjing Medical University in China comes a study about resveratrol. Res, R-E-S, Vera, V-E-R-A, trol, three syllables, resveratrol. It protects against asthma-induced airway inflammation. And when you consider how many children alone have asthma-induced airway inflammation, especially injured from vaccines, it's millions. Therefore, resveratrol. And in this study, it made an enormous difference in helping to alleviate asthma-induced airway inflammation. So that's important. Also, nectarine kernel extract. Now, I've never seen it in that form. Everybody knows what a nectarine is, and it's eaten them. They're very healthy. And it's called a stone fruit because of the hardness of the seed inside. But now, according to National Research Center in Egypt, the nectarine, which is very nutritious, very delicious, and has phenolic content, but the potential of its kernel was not studied before. And they wanted to see are there pharmacological activities and phenolic constituents of an extract of the nectarine fruit. And indeed it was. So my guess is that in the very near future we may be seeing a high potency anti-inflammatory analgesic activity of the nectarine kernel extract offered to the public. That's generally what happens when you have a positive study like that. Also, a study suggests that even if you're not good at art, art can promote brain health from Drexel University. Wow, Drexel University, boy, that brings back memories. Dr. Ed Graff was one of three scientists from Drexel University who approached me at the Institute of Applied Biology up on the third floor back in the early 1970s. They had heard I was doing psychotronic research. I was doing anti-aging research, and that's what everyone at the Institute knew, but the director of the Institute also knew I was doing psi research to see if there was any scientific validity. Could we prove something? And I did, oh my goodness, 200 studies, and most did not work, but one did. And they brought up a, well, I'll go into it on another occasion, but it was very exciting because they couldn't do this research where they were at, but we did a joint study together using equipment they brought up from Drexel, and it had incredible ability to help stimulate natural healing within the body. That'll all discuss on a different show. In any case, Drexel University in this case says that trying anything, writing poems, sketching, singing, doing something artsy, scribbling doodles, and there's a degree, of course, in the natural expertise, but if you really like doing something, it doesn't matter what. You do it and you benefit from it, especially your mental health. And there's lots now of study showing that the more time you spend doing something that's artistic, the better it is to promote brain health. That's important. Setting about creating a beautiful flower garden in your backyard. That's one of the things it could do. Crocheting. All good. And finally, from Zhejiang University in China, berry eaters, that's a lot of you and me, can be at a lower risk of diabetes, according to this meta-analysis. They looked at 400,000 people, and those consuming the most berries had the most anthocyanins, and that reduced the risk of type 2 diabetes mellitus by up to 18%. Just that alone. This was published in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So the more berries you eat, the healthier you're going to be, and especially the wild blueberry and pomegranate berries, goji berries, they're all good. Well, we're 23 minutes into our program. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go take your calls. We're going to take your calls from our voicemail. Don't call in. We already have what's ever there. We'll be listening to back in a moment.
Gary, I really appreciate all the 5G programming you've been doing. I recently was watching Max Kaiser's show, and he said that the telecom communities have the highest debt out of any company. That may be a factor in why they're so aggressively pushing 5G. I hope that helps in your research and everything, and keep on doing all the great work. Thank you.
Okay, I have not watched that. Max Kaiser does a lot on economics, and he's a very good, he has this wonderful effusive personality, but he's been right on most of the economic issues. He is also one that, like myself, who believes that we're going to be in for a very bumpy ride in our economy because we have invested too much in equities without looking at the real value of an equity. Many times the equities are overvalued, corporations are overvalued, and when there's a hit to the market, the value that is inflated is dissipated, and of course the average person or pension funds, people invested, institutional investors, lose big time. What I see as one of the biggest issues right now economically is the de-dollarization of the global economy. Now, I mentioned this 10 years ago. I said, watch China, because China is going to overtake the United States because it's a pure socialist economy. Now, most people think of socialism with Bernie Sanders. That's not real socialism. Sweden, other countries there, Finland, they do not have real socialism. Real socialism is strictly defined as when the government controls all sources of manufacturing and business. And then they control who gets to do business, who gets loans, who gets rollover loans, who goes bankrupt, who doesn't, and what percentage of profit you're going to receive in the process. And generally there's high taxation, but they control all funding, they control the printing of money, etc. And what we have is we have a mixed socialism. We have where are the basis of our democracy is a free and open society to earn as much money as you wish. So we have the majority of people working in America work for small business people who are never given credit for being the virtual backbone of the American economy. And those are the ones who are economically the most put upon. An example, just walk down the streets of Manhattan or the boroughs, 34 to 37% of all the storefronts are going to be closed. Why? I'll give you a good example. There was a place that someone I know for 30 years had a little restaurant on the Upper West Side on Amsterdam, and not in the best neighborhood. She was paying $8,000 a month rent, and the moment she left, the rent went to $14,000, or over $230 a square foot. That's insane. Nobody could afford that, and nobody going in there could succeed paying that much in rent. But right now, $200 a square foot in Manhattan is considered a bargain. It's not. It's a guarantee to go out of business. So that's why people who are going to open businesses, I wouldn't open any more businesses in any of the boroughs. It's suicide. You're going to lose all your money, your friends' money, and then you're going to lose relationships because you're not going to be able to pay people back. Your promise was a sure deal. Can't miss. 100% guaranteed. And having been in business my entire adult life, that's how I'm able to support all my philanthropic activities and do everything for free. I can tell you, it is no longer feasible. Now, if you want to go in other places in the United States, that's fine. So our government does not support, but rather exploits the worker. In fact, a small business person is actually paying more taxes than anyone else in America. You not only pay all the taxes, let me give you an idea. If you own a small business, a barbershop, a dress store, a restaurant, here's what you pay. You first have to pay for all the taxes on your employees and salaries. You pay that, they don't. Then you also pay the landlord's own property taxes. That's because the landlords have been embedded with the county, the city, the state politicians. They virtually control it and have for a long time. No matter who the mayor is, the landlords always have more power. Well, why should you, as a small business person, struggling to succeed, why should you pay the landlord's taxes when they get the benefit of all the appreciation, the value of the property, and then turn around and take out loans against that mortgage? That if they fail, the bank can take their property, but they've kept all the millions of dollars in profit for themselves, and that's what happens. So those taxes, plus you're going to pay the city tax, and you pay state taxes, and state taxes are up to 12%. Then when you take what little money you have left over for yourself, if there is any, for an owner, you then have to pay federal tax, state tax, city tax, all over again. Double taxation. So we don't talk about that. But no socialism helps that. None. You want your garbage removed? You pay for garbage, private garbage removal. You want to insure your building, which you have to insure. You have to pay Con Ed. You have to pay for property laws. You have to pay for liability insurance. It's an enormous effort. Now, let's say that you are in this capitalist system and there's a curve in the, there's a small C with a rose and there's a large C with a poison thorn. The rose is the small person doing something to maintain their independence and use the uniqueness, their creativity and originality. That's a good thing. We need more of that. And in fact, if you want to see 103 million Americans who had full-time jobs, frequently making a living wage, who are now unemployed and not even counted in the unemployment rate, give a small business people up to $5 million with zero interest and start 3 years later to pay back the loan, providing for each $1 million they hire two employees a living wage. You would probably have between 3 to 5 million new businesses or existing businesses having enough to expand and grow and advertise, and especially shift over to internet marketing from traditional brick and mortar marketing. Well, you're looking at anywhere from 10 to 20 million people now have a job with a living wage supporting a local economy, and that benefits the local economy. The more times you can spend a dollar around a neighborhood, the better. Historically, in 1960s, 50s, 40s, and 70s, if a dollar would go at least 57 times around a neighborhood. You start off where someone comes into the florist and buys some flowers. The florist then decides to have lunch a block away at a cafe. Then the person at the cafe goes to the movie theater. The person who owns the movie theater goes out and buys a suit. The person who bought the suit, and it goes around and around. Today, you put that credit card in, it goes to a central bank. It doesn't go around the neighborhood. So you see, this is what it is. Now, on the bad side of the capitalist curve, which is really that, you have vulture capitalism. That's what we have today, neoliberal capitalism. Both parties subscribe to it. And that is, you profit off other people's incapacity to pay back bills. You want a person not to be able to pay back their credit card bill, because now the interest rate of 18% can jump up to 36%. From there, if you only pay partial amounts, it can go to 50%. In payday loans, it can go up to 1,000% interest a person can pay. We should never allow that. But then look at the people who passed these bills, including Hillary Clinton, and you'll see that they got money from that industry. So the poorer you are, the more the vulture capitalist system takes advantage of you. Look at those poor kids and families in those cages at the detention, in the detention centers that was built by Obama, I might mention. And more people were put in those cages, including kids, more families separated. But it's been through all these presidencies. They're all guilty of this. In any case, those people are paying up to the government is paying private contractors $750 every 24 hours for one of those people to be there, to eat a bologna sandwich, to sleep on a mat. That's how corrupt our system is. The private contractor, the people who get all these bills, like Halliburton that got $100 to clean what should have been 50 cents, one duffel bag of dirty clothes for someone in Afghanistan, Iraq. Now, could you change it? No system in America can currently be changed. And the reason is that the entirety of our U.S. government and all of its agencies, through every administration and all their stay-behinds and technocrats, have captured every single policy-making area of government. And then the oligarchs who control the industries set up foundations and think tanks and then astroturf groups to attack anyone who challenges the corruption of any given system or the excessive profiteering and the income inequality that comes from that. They control the media, and the media continues to be the lapdogs, all of them, every single one, because they continue to report what they're told. Vaccines are, you know, safe and effective, and if anyone challenges the vaccine, they are a danger to society, in which case, attack them. And that's exactly what Google and Facebook and Wikipedia and the New York Times and Washington Post and all the other media are doing. They're attacking people who are already victimized by bad vaccines, and they've done their homework now instead of before they were vaccinated and want to tell us the truth, and we don't want to hear the truth. The media won't allow us to hear the truth. In fact, if you talk what's wrong with the vaccine, you're considered the enemy, an enemy, a domestic terrorist. So this is very Orwellian now. So you see, we have socialism for the very rich and their corporations, because they're all idiots, in my opinion. I mean, I've counseled them. Trust me when I say I've sat across from some of the most powerful, wealthy people in the world, and they're as dumb as bricks. They're functional illiterates. I haven't met more stupid people in my life than some of the people I've counseled who have been so powerful. Yet you would never know that, because they're smart enough to surround themselves with people who have no conscience, no morality, and do whatever it takes to keep inside that circle of the known. So now they get the bailouts. You don't. They get a whole industry that is corrupt to begin with and caused, like the banking industry. The entire banking industry in America should be replaced with local public people's banks and credit unions. We don't need Wall Street. That's a myth you've been lied to by economists who are stupid, uninformed, or they teach at university, so what the hell can I tell you about being stupid and uninformed? So that's what we have to look at, and that's a larger answer to a smaller problem. Let's see here. We'll take another call.
Hi, this is Vince from Babylon. My question is for Gary Null for the Natural Living Show. I'll just ask my question and hang up. So today is Sunday, the 11th of August. I'm curious what Gary thought. The news day we got today, right on the cover, two stories he's been talking about for a while, was the new vaccine laws that are hitting New York, which he warned us. The other thing on it was Jeffrey Epstein was killed, I mean, killed himself on suicide watch in Manhattan in what is supposed to be the safest city in the world because of everything they've got. So I'm curious, like, what happens now since Mr. Epstein was killed himself on suicide watch, which was 24/7, by the way, because the guy who was going to tell all about who's been to Little Sodom, his island in the Caribbean, the guy who knew firsthand the names of politicians and celebrities was killed, killed himself in his jail cell while he was on suicide watch. So I find it odd. I'd like to know what he thinks about the security, because I'd be worried if somebody went in and, you know, was able to kill him. I mean, have him kill himself in the safest city in the world, in Manhattan, when he was under watch 24/7. What does that say about the overall security of the whole thing in New York City?
Gunned down by Jack Ruby, and Ruby was tied directly into the mob. Look, you would have to be extremely naive to believe that the end of the story is that Epstein felt that he would spend the rest of his life in jail, a little tiny cell, there was nothing left for him, and killed himself. That's not going to be what the story is. Dead, yes, that he is. But the real story you'll hear on this coming Tuesday evening on the Progressive Commentary Hour. We have information no one has. We'll be breaking it with on that evening. Okay? Just be patient. You'll hear the true story, something you'll never get from the media. I'm not going to take any more calls. Instead, what I'm going to do is I want to play you this AstroTurf of manipulation of the media messages by Cheryl Atkinson, because this lets you know that almost every message you're getting from the media out there has been in some way altered to fit someone's needs, corporate needs, more than any other. Listen in. I think you'll find it of interest.
Consider this fictitious example that's inspired by real life. Say you're watching the news and you see a story about a new study on the cholesterol-lowering drug called Cholextra. The study says Cholextra is so effective that doctors should consider prescribing it to adults and even children who don't yet have high cholesterol. Is it too good to be true? You're smart. You decide to do some of your own research. You do a Google search. You consult social media, Facebook and Twitter. You look at Wikipedia, WebMD, a nonprofit website. And you read the original study in a peer-reviewed published medical journal. It all confirms how effective Cholextra is. You do run across a few negative comments and a potential link to cancer, but you dismiss that because medical experts call the cancer link a myth and say that those who think there is a link there are quacks and cranks and nuts. Finally, you learn that your own doctor recently attended a medical seminar. The lecture that he attended confirmed how effective Cholextra is, so he sends you off with some free samples and a prescription. You've really done your homework. But what if all isn't as it seems? What if the reality you found was false? A carefully constructed narrative by unseen special interests designed to manipulate your opinion. A Truman Show-esque alternate reality all around you. Complacency in the news media combined with incredibly powerful propaganda and publicity forces mean we sometimes get little of the truth. Special interests have unlimited time and money to figure out new ways to spin us while cloaking their role. Surreptitious astroturf methods are now more important to these interests than traditional lobbying of Congress. There's an entire industry built around it in Washington. What is astroturf? It's a perversion of grassroots, as in fake grassroots. Astroturf is when political, corporate, or other special interests disguise themselves and publish blogs, start Facebook and Twitter accounts, publish ads, letters to the editor, or simply post comments online to try to fool you into thinking an independent or grassroots movement is speaking. The whole point of AstroTurf is to try to give the impression there's widespread support for or against an agenda when there's not. AstroTurf seeks to manipulate you into changing your opinion by making you feel as if you're an outlier when you're not. One example is the Washington Redskins name. Without taking a position on the controversy, if you simply were looking at news media coverage over the course of the past year or looking at social media, you'd probably have to conclude that most Americans find that name offensive and think it ought to be changed. But what if I told you 71% of Americans say the name should not be changed? That's more than two-thirds. AstroTurfers seek to controversialize those who disagree with them. They attack news organizations that publish stories they don't like, whistleblowers who tell the truth, politicians who dare to ask the tough questions, and journalists who have the audacity to report on all of it. Sometimes astroturfers simply shove intentionally so much confusing and conflicting information into the mix that you're left to throw up your hands and disregard all of it, including the truth. Drown out a link between a medicine and a harmful side effect, say vaccines and autism, by throwing a bunch of conflicting paid-for studies, surveys, and experts into the mix, confusing the truth beyond recognition. And then there's Wikipedia. AstroTurf's dream come true. Billed as the free encyclopedia that anyone can edit, the reality can't be more different. Anonymous Wikipedia editors control and co-opt pages on behalf of special interests. They forbid and reverse edits that go against their agenda. They skew and delete information in blatant violation of Wikipedia's own established policies with impunity, always superior to the poor schlubs who actually believe anyone can edit Wikipedia, only to discover they're barred from correcting even the simplest factual inaccuracies. Try adding a footnoted fact or correcting a fact error on one of these monitored Wikipedia pages and poof, sometimes within a matter of seconds, you'll find your edit is reversed. In 2012, famed author Philip Roth tried to correct a major fact error about the inspiration behind one of his book characters cited on a Wikipedia page. But no matter how hard he tried, Wikipedia's editors wouldn't allow it. They kept reverting the edits back to the false information. When Roth finally reached a person at Wikipedia, which was no easy task, and tried to find out what was going wrong, they told him he simply was not considered a credible source on himself. A few weeks later, there was a huge scandal when Wikipedia officials got caught offering a PR service that skewed and edited information on behalf of paid, publicity-seeking clients in utter opposition to Wikipedia's supposed policies. All of this may be why, when a medical study looked at medical conditions described on Wikipedia pages and compared it to actual peer-reviewed published research, Wikipedia contradicted medical research 90% of the time. You may never fully trust what you read on Wikipedia again, nor should you. Let's now go back to that fictitious Calextra example and all the research you did. It turns out the Facebook and Twitter accounts you found that were so positive were actually written by paid professionals hired by the drug company to promote the drug. The Wikipedia page had been monitored by an agenda editor also paid by the drug company. The drug company also arranged to optimize Google search engine results, so it was no accident that you stumbled across that positive nonprofit that had all those positive comments. The nonprofit was, of course, secretly founded and funded by the drug company. The drug company also financed that positive study and used its power of editorial control to omit any mention of cancer as a possible side effect. Once more, each and every doctor who publicly touted Calextra or called the cancer link a myth or ridiculed critics as paranoid cranks and quacks or served on the government advisory board that approved the drug, each of those doctors is actually a paid consultant for the drug company. As for your own doctor, the medical lecture he attended that had all those positive evaluations was, in fact, like many continuing medical...
Let's just give an example. It's a longer, much longer piece, and you can listen to Cheryl Atkinson in its entirety. Also yesterday, and this just to explain what happens, with our local sister station WBAI, because many of the people there, older people, have asked me, they don't have access to the Internet or don't know how to use it, could I play my Tuesday evening program, Progressive Commentary Hour, which is a very serious, hard-hitting program on BAI, and I do that once a week. And yesterday I did it. It was very, very insightful. It was by Corbett, the Corbett Report, and I did an introduction for about 15 minutes, and then he showed you who created all the Facebook and Google platforms and who really controlled them. And it was not about helping you. It was about getting information on you to control your actions. So that's that. Also, I answered a question yesterday, but I took way too long to answer because I was going into depth. And it was from a person who said, why am I still alive? And because I've taken on so many people and so many corporations, all of these organizations have character assassination squads. They can destroy your reputation. They can attack you. They can make your life miserable. And almost all are tied into governmental agencies, you know, so they can put the IRS on you and audit you, et cetera. And I'll give you my answer because some people asked about that, because I edited that out and then instead put a commentary in about our loss of freedoms and our loss of constitutional rights in this place, which I felt was more important. But my answer is relatively straightforward, and I'll explain this. Right now, people do not know who to believe. So the average person believes the people in the media. The more significant the media, the more popular the person, the less likelihood that they're going to contradict them or even seek information that would contradict their sources. And that's what they believe. So if they're told vaccines are safe and effective and people championing vaccine exclusions like religious or philosophical exclusion are nut jobs, they're a danger to society. They're not, but there's a whole campaign afoot now to make you believe that. If we're told that we need to go into a war, whether it's Iraq or Afghanistan or Vietnam, Korean War, we're told by this very same group of pundits who are tied into government intelligence agencies. In fact, they no longer hide it. I once had a clip I played of the former head of CBS News stating that, yeah, they work with intelligence agencies, and many of the people working in the news come from the CIA itself. They weren't even hiding it. We also found that out during the church hearings, how much the national security state had control over our media. Today it's complete. It's totally complete. They control everything. And that's why I don't listen. I won't turn on CNN. I won't turn on, you know, MSNBC, because I know what to expect. I know what they're going to say on any given issue. They're going to defend the status quo. But there is a group of, there are a number of individuals, I'm one of them, but only one of many, who believe that you can't have a half-truth. There's an old Jewish saying, a half-truth is a full lie. What do I mean? I mean this. If I told you to eat a good diet, and I went through that diet, like I do the first 20 minutes nearly of every day, and I lay it all out, and I prove that it comes from good science-based medicine, which it does, and it's been done at respected institutions, which it has, then at least if you're a doctor, a nurse, or someone in the health profession, you can feel confident that it's almost it is a information of record, meaning I stand behind what I produce. That's why I have lawyers and scholars on staff that qualify everything I do before I take it on the air, articles, documentaries, etc. So there's truth in it, and I'm willing to stand behind it. Now, the other half of that is, if I only told you half the story, exercise every day and de-stress every day, that would all be true. But it's the other half that adversely affects the first half. For example, if I didn't tell you what's wrong with our food supply, then you'd go out and eat genetically engineered food, as most Americans do. That destroys our environment, and that causes cancer. If I didn't tell you how to make natural pesticides, which I do, because that information will compete with DDT, which it did. So then there was a major campaign, and I had to debate people. I debated them down in Atlanta, debated them everywhere about the dangers of DDT. Well, I did that for 6 years, helping the Silent Spring author, Rachel Carson, who really was the founder of our environmental movement. Ralph Nader created a dynamic energy within that with Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, etc. But it was she and she alone who had the courage and insight to do her studies as a marine biologist to show DDT was harming the environment, harming the reproduction. Eagles were laying eggs that only had a translucent membrane and would break and die. And initially, it was a hard-fought battle. But in time, by 1972, we won, and it was banned. But the problem is we won a victory and lost the war because there were 22 other pesticides that came out to take DDT's place that were equally as dangerous. So I told the people at the time, we have to have a different approach because otherwise we're going to be forever pitched in these battles telling the truth, but we're going to lose the larger issue because the mainstream media at times have been more open, and today is completely closed to any alternative approach to challenging the status quo. So if I tell you the GMOs are harmful, and here's the studies, and here's the research, now you have a full truth. You have a choice. What you do is up to you. You can eat the GMOs and care less and be indifferent, stay in intentional neglect, or you can be intentionally aware, intentionally informed, and eat organic and locally produced. If I tell you that eating meat is bad and why, and associated with every single study, that every single study in the scientific literature that I've read shows that eating meat is not healthy, it is harmful. It's a major cause of disease, but also it destroys our environment, producing methane gases from the cattle and the pigs, and therefore contributing to global warming. So telling you about veganism is good. Telling you about what's wrong with not being a vegan is the whole story. Telling you about why you should live in places that are sustainable is good, but telling you places that are not sustainable, New York City, overcrowded, polluted, dirty, corrupt to the core, and now engaged in such massive unmitigated greed by developers, and people want to come and park their money in their real estate of New York, walk down the streets every night, and you'll see empty apartments and brand new buildings. Those apartments are sold, but people aren't living there. Well, how does that help the local economy? It doesn't. It hurts it because it gentrifies it and pushes people who once had a nice place to live, pushes them out. So you got to tell the whole story. I can tell you the best places in America to live, best place right now in all of America. And I look ahead 5 years at what's coming because I have that insight because I'm an environmentalist and I've worked on this new documentary, which is the most comprehensive film ever done on the environment. This will blow your mind when you see it. I was down working on it early this morning, in fact. It's Northeast Texas, where Arkansas and Louisiana and Texas come together. Now go 2 hours west, and you're a non-sustainable part of that country. But people wouldn't know that unless you knew what you need for sustainability and get out of harm's way with Mother Nature with extreme events. People thought it was great to have a warm winter. It's not great to have a warm winter because all the trees around you are going to die. And then there's going to catch fire. And then you're going to have that heat wave coming down. And then one day you have a heat wave, and the next day you've got an Arctic inversion, and now you've got 50-degree drop in temperature. That happened 3 times this past 12 months. So you've got to tell the whole story. I can tell you where to put your money. Remember I said gold when the market collapses? And the market is going to collapse, but it won't collapse all at once. It'll collapse in parts. The smart money's already out of a situation before you even think of what situation you should be in. So gold is now up to $1,560, and I believe it's on its way higher because other economies around the world are collapsing. If it wasn't for the euro being way down to a historical low and the pound down, sterling pound down to a way low, historical low, but their economies are in crisis. They have high unemployment. They don't have money to support their own infrastructures or their own social policies. That's the bad part of the story. But what you should do to keep your money, get out of debt, and get out of anything that is pegged to the dollar, because the de-dollarization of the world currency is coming right now as we speak. And you're going to see this happening, led by China, that backs its yuan with gold, and Russia with ruble, and other countries working together. Their industries are challenged and ridden with debt, but they control how much money they print, and they control it by backing it up, by building infrastructure, huge infrastructures. We don't have it. Do you see any infrastructures? Do you see any cities being made over? No. Do you see new tunnels and ways of helping? Do you see us cleaning up the Mississippi, cleaning up any of these rivers? No. Do you see us de-neutralizing the toxic effect of the dead zone at the Mississippi River from agricultural runoff? No, you don't. We haven't spent a nickel on changing the outcome of global warming in this country by changing what we do, how we do it, and where we do it, to bring back communities, to bring back a living wage, to get rid of the ghettos, and to let people have a quality of life. We haven't spent a nickel. China is doing that right now all over the world. 67 countries are benefiting from its largesse, and we're not benefiting anyone with anything because we're too damn corrupt. So I got to tell the whole story. Am I going to make enemies? Every day. Whole industries, governmental agencies. Do I care? I don't care. They'll make stuff up. That's how they'll keep, they're behind Wikipedia. And so they'll keep demonizing. So for every person listening to this show, there could be a million people who look at the false information. You want to see my real background? We've just posted 6 videos that I had nothing to do with. They're video bios of me as a journalist, investigative journalist, as a broadcaster, as a person who's produced all these successful programs on public television. So that's there. Share those bios if you want honest, accurate bios, hard-hitting bios that tell the full story of what I've done in my life. So we can expect all of us who are activists, every activist, you're all in their sights. Do we run and hide? No, only a coward does that. We go in right up to them. We get in their face. And if you can't get in the face of the opposition, then don't be surprised when they come up and bash in the back of the head, because that's all they know how to do. That's the mainstream media. That's the New York Times and all these other rags. That's the government and all of its agencies. That's all the major manufacturers of these corrupt products that we shouldn't have, destroying health and the environment. They work together. So you face them because they consider you now domestic terrorists. So any way they can destroy your reputation, they will. They make up lies. They'll do astroturfing. That's why I had her up here, Cheryl Atkinson. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't become involved, because those who do not become involved in sharing the truth and spreading it, one day you'll find out you have no choices except those that are dictated. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.